So, anyway, y'all, we're starting off a new series today called Dysfunctional Family Christmas, and we planned this out, and we've been studying for a few months, and after studying the Gospels, y'all, for a few months, everything leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ, everything centered around the birth of Jesus Christ involves a dysfunctional family. A straight up dysfunction. Now, when I'm talking about a dysfunctional family, y'all, I'm meaning a family that's not operating like the traditional normal family. For example, leading up to the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, it involves a scared, you know, teenage pregnant girl and her man thinking that his boo cheated on him and trying to do like a quiet separation from her. That sounds more like a Jerry Springer episode than a Bible story. Definitely dysfunctional. It also highlights, y'all, a ruler who was not only dangerously insecure, but he was an extremely powerful man who would stop at nothing to make sure that his own throne was secure. And when I mean stop at nothing, I mean the mass genocide of hundreds, if not thousands, of children just to protect his own throne. Crazy dysfunction. The story leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ is surrounded by several families who reject the very person that's come to save them. In fact, they killed him. But this is what's so beautiful to me. Despite this dysfunction, Jesus came right in the middle of his dysfunction and seriously just flat out just made a way for man to be reconciled to God. Like, he still accomplished his goal of making sure his children were in right standing with God despite dysfunction, in the middle of dysfunction. So the main idea of the series, y'all, like, if Jesus thrived in dysfunction, then so can we. Right? Making sense? There's dysfunction everywhere, but we can still thrive despite dysfunction. And today we're going to talk about a family that got some added dysfunction and how they responded to it. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Right? Turn to Luke chapter 1. Now let me give you, while you're turning, or you can just check out on the screen, let me kind of give you a background. Let me give you a bit of context. So Luke writes about a priest named Zechariah and his wife, who is a daughter of a priest. Now, this is what they say in verse 6. Luke chapter 1, verse 6. It says that they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were godly, upstanding people. Incredible folks, godly folks, loved God. Now, here's the kicker. The kicker comes in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Barren means that you're not able to have kids. And so they had no children because Elizabeth was not able to have children, and both were advanced in years. Now, according to scholars, when the Bible says that somebody is advanced in years, that means that they are at least 60 years old. So some scholars say they're probably in between 70 and 90 years old. But for the sake of that, let's just say they're at least 60 years old. Now, by the looks of it, again, 60 years old, by the looks of it, it looks like Elizabeth was well past her journey into having kids. And they knew that. That was their mindset. Now, one day, Zechariah is fulfilling his priestly duties in the temple. He's lighting incense inside of the temple. And as he's lighting incense inside of the temple, he has an interaction with an angel. So, y'all got the background of that? So let's pick up at verse 11. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Why was he scared? Because he just saw a daggum angel. I mean, it had to be miraculous sighting. I bet you he was huge, angelic. He was just so different from the ordinary. It says in the scripture, a lot of times when people have interactions with angels, they immediately become scared. Well, this is one of them. He saw an angel, got freaked out. Like, this is not normal. This is a weird looking dude. I'm scared. Now, this is what the angel says in verse 13. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer, check this is big, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, this is what gets me pretty excited, men and women. Now, the writer, the author of the book of Luke is Luke, and Luke is a physician. So here he says that Elizabeth was barren. So this is a medical professional looking at Elizabeth, and he understands the body. Again, he's a doctor, and he says this woman is unable to have children. And on top of that, they're 60 years old, which means that Elizabeth's biological clock had ticked out. It was gone. Y'all following me? Now, by this time, Zechariah and Elizabeth have already made it up in their mind that they were not going to have kids. Even though that brought them great distress, even though they had a big burden, they had a heaviness on their heart about that, they've come to the realization, man, I'm 60, ain't no 60. Anybody 60 and above, you know, if you're so bold to raise your hand, ladies. Now, if you're pregnant, keep your hand up. Exactly. All right. Y'all, it's funny. Wayne and Jesse, they're about to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. They were here first service. And I was like, hey, be careful. I just read Luke 1. Hey, man, y'all probably give birth to John the Baptist Jr. And I was looking at me crazy. But sorry, I digress. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they already made it up in their mind. This is just a burden that I'm going to have to bury, you know, carry. I'm just going to have to carry this burden. Made it up in their mind. But, I love, God loves big butts and he cannot lie. Right? Now, but God met Zechariah in the temple and God provided a miracle for him. A miracle. We throw that word a lot. Now, this is the Webster's definition of a miracle. All right, we got it on stage, screen. There we go. The definition of a miracle is a surprising and welcomed event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. Now, think about this. This is Webster's definition. This is a worldly definition. The worldly definition said that it makes no sense. Like what's happening, whatever event is happening, it goes beyond scientific laws. It goes beyond nature. And it moves from the natural to the supernatural. And it is considered the work of a divine agency. Now, you saints in here, you can understand that. If this is a miracle, we all know what that divine agency is. It is God himself moving his hand. Now, check this out. God created scientific laws. He did. Yeah, have you ever met somebody who didn't believe in Jesus and their defense of not believing in Jesus and say they believe in science? Anybody ever seen Napoleon Dynamite and goes, hey, I don't believe in God. I believe in science. As if God didn't create science, you know? God created these things. Science ain't bad. God created science. He created these scientific laws. But check this out. Sometimes, and this is big, sometimes God would defy those natural laws to move in the supernatural. And this big. Let me repeat that. Sometimes God will defy the laws he set in place, these natural laws, and perform in the supernatural. That's when you get a miracle. That's when you get a miracle. I was watching a video. This happened just a couple of years ago. It was this little high school girl. So her dad was working on a truck, like on this big, huge SUV, and he was working under it, and then the car fell on him. She was in there watching. The car fell on him, and then something happened with the oil, and the gasoline was spilled, and the car caught on fire. The girl was freaking out, so she got underneath the car. It made the news. It made Good Morning America. She went to the SUV, and this little, bony, scrawny high school girl lifted the car, got her dad from underneath it, and the thing dropped like a little Iron Woman, you know? And I was watching the news, and the news said, you know, the guy said on the news, goes, yes, you know, call it adrenaline or whatever. And that was the time I'm like, man, shut up. You know, I've seen adrenaline. I ain't never seen adrenaline, I'm saying, just mess around and go and pick up a car nowhere. I ain't never seen that, especially by no little bony, you know, little high school girl. We all know, saints, we know who that was. That was God at work, right? Defied the law, scientific laws, defied nature, the natural, and performed in supernatural. Now, the natural said that Elizabeth's biological clock did ticked out. But let me tell you this. Have a fight between a biological clock and the author of time, and who do you think is going to win that fight? What's a biological clock? The author of time, y'all. Come on. God provided a miracle, nothing short but a miracle for this family. But let me tell you this. Do you think God loves Zachariah and Elizabeth more than he does you? Ah, silly rabbit. No. If God provided a miracle for that family, he's going to provide a miracle for yours. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Here's my first point. You can believe God for a miracle for you and your family. What happened to our belief? You look at children, they believe that they can do and will do anything. Sometimes I look at my daughters and I'm like, you believe that, weirdo? Their faith is beyond limits. And sometimes we look at kids and we suppress that. At what age did we stop believing like we did whenever we was a child? At what time did we stop believing like we did when God came into our lives? When did that stop? I believe so many churches are without power because they failed to use the power that they had because they don't believe in the power. Some of you all need a miracle in your finances, yo. Some of you all need a miracle in your marriage. Some of you all need a miracle in your health. Some of you all need for God to see your situation, which he does, and defy scientific laws, something that defies our understanding, something that defies our comprehension, something that defies our own logic. And you're needing for God to miraculously perform a miracle in your life. You think God stopped doing this stuff? Maybe we see it less because people stop believing more. You ever think about that, yo? Like, so what do we need to do? Y'all, a lot of us, we need to either, if you don't believe, we need to either start believing or we need to do what Journey told us to do. Don't stop believing. You see what I did there? For those who don't know who Journey is, it's a band. I'm 33 years old. I had to look it up who sang this song anyway. All right. I'm black, but ain't not too many brothers. Do I got another brother in here? No, of course not. Of course we don't. I'm saying, who am I kidding? But where's our belief? God challenged me so much this week whenever I was reading this. God was like, Richard, do you still believe in miracles? Do you still believe in miracles? Oh, man, I prayed this week for a bunch of stuff. Wayne said this. This dude was like, he told me this right before I came up on first service. He goes, sometimes we believe in God, but we don't believe God. And I'm like, oh, wow. So let me get this straight. We believe that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We actually believe, and we can't see it, that whenever we die, we're going to be seated in the heavenly places with God. Like, we're going to be, like, we believe that we're going to see God one day and we won't be sick and there's no darkness and there's no division, there's no fighting. It's all perfection. And we believe that. We believe that when we die, we're going to see that, but it ain't happening right now. We ain't in heaven right now. No. We're not. But we believe that. So where is our limit? You know, why do we stop believing that God can move despite our current situations? It makes no sense, right? We believe we're going to go to heaven, but we can't believe that God can heal that person from cancer. Maybe God ain't doing it because we ain't believing it. I know I'm speaking to somebody up in here. Think about this. Romans 8:32 said this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? Think about this. God gave us his son, his only begotten son. Before the foundation of the world, there was perfect fellowship within the triune God. And let me just single out two, God the Father and God the Son. Perfect relationship, perfect. Chilling together. They didn't create man because they needed, you know what I'm saying, you know, a relationship to sustain. They didn't create man for that. They created man because they wanted the object to love together. And Jesus, God sacrificed his own son. When Jesus was on the cross, he goes, Father, why have you forsaken me? Meaning that God and man was separated. Jesus even prayed it like, God, if this is your will, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to experience this, but it's not about me. It's about what you want. And God the Son, God the Father was like, man, you got to do this. And he did it. God loved us so much that he gave us his only son. If he gave us his only son, you don't think that he will also give us a way out of our troubled finances or our troubled health or our troubled marriage? You don't think that God can repair that? Silly rabbit. How about we start believing God in a miracle, yo? Let us believe radically. Maybe, just maybe, the world needs to start seeing Christians act radical. But a lot of times what we do is like, oh, no, that's weird. Like, what do you mean? We're talking about the supernatural, you know, and we're believing in miracles. And we believe in, you know, like resurrection from the dead. Oh, boy, I can't say that because that's radical and people would think I'm weird. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Were. But God gave you life. Where is our radical behavior? Where is our radical belief? I don't know about y'all. Either you can come alongside of me or go somewhere else, because MBF will be the church. We're doing it more and more and more. And I would so much rather to believe alongside of you or believe despite you. I believe that we're going to believe alongside each other. Can I get an amen? Let's move forward here. And the angel said, no, they have, so Zechariah is having this awesome conversation with his angel. And the angel looks at Zechariah and was like, look, Zechariah, like, God has heard your prayer. Now, that's huge alone. Anyway, you know, this is a messenger from God himself. And say, hey, dude, like, God sent me. Like, I see God all the time. We talk. He heard your prayer. He told me. And he told me to tell you this. You're going to have a son. And he told me, you're going to name him John. But then he said this. This is cool. He said that you, on earth, you're going to experience great joy and great gladness. And everybody, a bunch of folks are going to experience so much joy because of the birth of this kid. So much joy. And they said that this person is going to be great. Let's fast forward. Didn't Jesus say that there's none greater than who? John the Baptist, right? So not only are you going to have a son, but you're going to have the greatest prophet that ever lived. Greatest. And he said, now this is after 400 years of silence. This is after 400 years of no prophet, right? And so, like, Israel, they were craving for a prophet. 400 years. And go, you're going to give birth to that prophet. And he's going to prepare a way for God himself. If you're Zechariah right there, you're like, really? That's awesome. Come on now, God. Is she pregnant right now, or do I need to go do something? I'm like, what do I need to do? Right? Hey, they married. Y'all grown. Y'all understand the whole deal. You know? What do I need to do? As soon as the angel would have told me you would have had the baby, then I would have been gone. All right? Gone. I'll save the next story for a marriage series that we're doing, all right? So, wonderful news, right? Wonderful news. Now check out Zechariah's response. Oh, some of y'all, Zechariah. Luke 1:18. And Zechariah said to the angel, let me just pause right there. He said to the angel. He knew he was an angel. Zechariah knew that was an angel. He said to the angel, how shall I know this? Man, I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. This guy doubted. He is in presence. Hear this. He is in the presence of a supernatural being. And he recognizes that angel as a supernatural being. But he is so focused, come on now, he is so focused on the natural, it blinded him from experiencing the supernatural. When I read this, it shook me to my core. God is like, Richard, how often are you exposed to the supernatural, but you reject it because you're so focused on the natural? And not only was he exposed to the supernatural, but the supernatural being said that I'm going to give you supernatural gifts. But check this out. Now, Zechariah was blinded. Now, he was blinded by his own comprehension, by his own understanding, by his own comprehension. You know, he was blinded by the natural. Church, hear this. Whenever you get so focused to the natural and whenever you hitch your wagon so much to the natural, you will miss out on the supernatural gifts that God has in store for you. Why do you think the word tells us to constantly do what? Set our minds on the things that are what? Above. Set our minds on the supernatural. Whenever you don't focus on the supernatural, you are tied, you are binded by the natural. The natural said, you ain't gonna have no kids, Zechariah. You too old and your wife is barren. But the supernatural was like, hey, it's time for me to work. I love when God does that. God loves to show out. He does. God loves to show out. God could have easily said, like, no, you know, a woman is never going to be infertile, ever. She can have a baby when she's a billion years old. God could have easily made that law, but he made that law, and he goes, hey, children, watch me work. Y'all, God is saying, church, watch me work. But you can be blinded, and he won't work at all. He's waiting for us to believe. Anybody seen Tim Allen's The Santa Claus? Love that movie. One of the greatest Christmas movies ever. Not the second one. The second one sucked. But the first one was awesome. Now, so Tim Allen, for those who don't know the movie, Tim Allen is on the, Tim Allen hears some commotion on the roof. He goes out and he goes, hey, what you doing down there? Satan's like, ah, and Satan fell down the roof, died, and then picked out a card and he says, hey, you put on my suit, I'm the big guy. He already had an insurance plan, which I think is cool. So Tim Allen put on the suit or whatever, bam, now he's Santa Claus. So he gets in the sleigh. He's trying to get his son to get out of the sleigh, and he goes, let's go. The reindeer thought he was talking to him. The reindeer went off. He was handing out presents to all of the world. Now, Tim Allen is in the North Pole. He's in the North Pole. He is surrounded by elves. He's in the middle of Satan's workshop. He's seeing all of these miraculous, supernatural things. And he's having this conversation with his cute little elf. And he was like, man, is that a polar bear directing traffic? She was like, yep, it is. Pretty cool out here, huh? And he said, look, I see all of these things. I just can't believe it. Now, what she says is huge. She says, dude, you're missing the point. Seeing is not believing. She said, believing is seeing. Let that steak marinate in that sauce real quick. Some of us, you know, for those who are really awesome, you live in Missouri. You're in the show me state, right? Sorry, Arkansas. You're in the show me state, right? A lot of the times we have a show me state type spirituality, right? You know, it's like, oh, no, in order for me to believe it, I need to see it. And God goes, no, that's not the case. If you, I need to see it in order for me to believe it. Like, you're going to have to show me. And God's like, no, you believe it and then you will see it. A lot of the times, men and women, our spiritual gifts are on halt because we are waiting to see it before we believe it. And God was like, no, you need to believe it first, then you will receive it. You see how God works backwards? How can we believe that we're going to go to heaven and we don't see it, but we can't believe that God is going to provide healing for whatever we got going on? Come on, y'all. Am I talking to somebody now? John 11:40. Jesus. So Martha, you know, which was Lazarus' sister, was like, man, my brother has been dead 4 days. And Jesus comes through and Jesus said, hey, remove the stone. Remove the stone. You're going to watch me work. I'm about to heal this guy. And this is what Martha said. Now, check this out. Martha said, like, yo, Jesus, but this dude is decomposing. He ain't fresh. He decomposed. God, like, it's 4 days. You late. This is Jesus' response. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Again, believing is seeing. Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory? Check this out. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is God's work on display. That's the glory. God's work on display. How many of you all would like to see God's work, God's glory, God's power on display in your life? I do. Then start believing. Man, I'm about to get excited. I ain't got excited yet. Matthew 13:57-58. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. He's in his hometown, right? And Jesus, now he's doing his ministry at this time, and Jesus is doing miraculous teachings. And so he's there with his homeboys and his homegirls that he grew up with teaching in the temple. And these people were like, dude, who are you to be teaching like this? I know your mama. She ain't that bright. I know your pop. He ain't that bright. I know your brothers and sisters. Like, you're just ordinary Joe Schmo. Like, who are you to be, like, how do you have all this miraculous knowledge? Nah, you whack, bro. You whack, your mama whack, your daddy whack, your brother's whack, your sister's whack. I know you. You shouldn't be understanding all of this stuff. And they took offense to it. This is how Jesus responded. Verse 57, and they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Verse 58, and this shook me to the core. I immediately repented and I started praying for a bunch of stuff, a bunch of people in here. I'm praying for my family. I started praying for my wife. Oh, I started praying for my community. I started praying. Verse 58, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Any athletes in here? What happened? You know what? Whenever you have a home game, you want to show out, right? Home game, there's a reason why many teams perform better at home, because it's my home. It's in front of my people. I'm about to show out in front of my people. I'm from here. Come on now. You know, whenever I go home, you know, whatever I have, I want to give to my community because I love my community and I know my community. I know that and I love it. Can you imagine what Nazareth would have looked like if Jesus was like, man, it's homecoming time. Whoo, and bam, all of the miraculous works and signs and miracles going to happen in this hometown. But check this out. Verse 58 said, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It was a perfect time for Jesus to defy those scientific laws, defy the natural, and to do incredible things in his hometown. But he did not, because the people in his hometown did not believe. No, that broke his heart. Our God is a good God. He wants to give good gifts to us. Make no mistake about it. I think sometimes we get so focused on the prosperity gospel about stuff, that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Wait a minute. God did promise us prosperity. He said he would give us prosperity. He did. Now, don't get me wrong. All of this stuff is a direct link to him. And despite the stuff, no matter what, we're linked to him. Linked to him, no matter what. But we throw the baby out with the bathwater and we expect, oh, we don't expect God for that healing. We don't expect God for that check. We don't expect God for that job. We don't expect God for that baby. We don't expect God for that healing. Where are you? Who are you? It's time to start believing, church. Again, I prayed like I've never prayed this week. Like I never prayed in my life. This week I did. Some of you all need to pray for a miracle for your spouse. Believe it. For your health, believe it. For your finances, believe it. For your strength, believe it. Some of you all, you probably experience an addictions and you're like, God, I need a miracle. Then believe it. Because even though it makes no sense, even though it makes, it goes beyond your understanding. It goes beyond your logic. You're set up in the perfect place for you to miraculously see. No, for you to see the miraculous work of God. And we can see that right now. Prayer team, if you can come up. When some of you prayed earlier, you probably prayed out of just desperation, you know? Like sometimes whenever, you know, especially like when Penelope like is crying in the middle of the night and we're praying and I had to stop with Heidi with this and I'm like, you know, we're praying, we're like, oh God, please make her stop. God, please make her stop. And we're just really praying out of desperation other than praying with confidence. Like, God, I know you can make this girl stop. God, I'm believing you for it. Make this girl stop. This girl was going in for the last couple of weeks. I mean, you know, for a couple of nights. I mean, she was just going crazy. And Heidi and I, we were like, oh, let's pray. And then we just stopped in our tracks and we're like, how about we just try this prayer thing all over again and pray with confidence? And we did. And believe it, that girl stopped like that, having a great night ever since. Now, I could have easily rationalized it in my mind, like, oh, it's just a crying. Oh, it was just a coincidence. Whatever. That's the power of God. God loves to show out. This is just a small thing. What are you believing God for? Some of y'all, whenever y'all pray, you were praying out of that desperation. How about we change that and start praying in our confidence that God can do what we ask according to his name. Amen. Let's see a miracle. Everybody can stand. Challenging you all to believe God that he can get rid of all your addictions, all of your problems. He can get rid of all of that, whatever that may be. Just focus on him and believe he has the power to do it. And then believe, now here's a step, believe that he will do it. That takes a tremendous amount of faith, tremendous amount of belief, but you're capable of doing it. Amen? So if anybody needs to come up here, pray all over again or start praying, how about you come up here and let's pray that God would do something incredible. Let's pray and let's worship. Love you all.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithful.